Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Another Titans player has tested positive for COVID-19. So once again, not good news on the Titans front. We'll continue to react to that all show long. But now looking ahead to a big matchup this weekend between the Vols and Georgia. And to help us do more of that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Seth Emerson from The Athletic, who covers the Bulldogs. Seth, what's going on, man? How we doing?
I'm doing okay.
So, Seth, what do you make of this matchup this weekend between Tennessee and Georgia? How do you kind of view this matchup heading into it?
You know, I find myself, weirdly, from Georgia's standpoint, a little more worried about it than I was going into the Auburn game. And that's not to say that Tennessee is better than Auburn. It's just from a situation standpoint, Georgia was coming off such a flat performance, at least for the first half. They pulled away in the second half when Stetson Bennett went in there. But the performance they were coming off at Arkansas just had all the earmarks of a team that was going to make a big week one to week two jump. And they did that. And so now here comes Tennessee, which also looks like they're doing better. They're a better team. But Georgia has beat them pretty soundly the last few years. So is there the potential of the trap game sense? I mean, I don't think people here are looking, at least players and coaches, I don't think they're looking ahead to Alabama next week, but maybe some people are. It's more the hangover of the Auburn game. Like, can you keep this going from week two? I still go into it expecting Georgia to win, but I see more reason to worry from Georgia's standpoint than I did against Auburn.
So how much of a folk hero is Stetson Bennett the fourth already, Seth? And is he the guy? I mean, are we going to see him just commanding that offense the rest of this season?
You know, I'm working on my mailbag for tomorrow and answering that very question. We don't know. I mean, honestly, he has a better chance than any of the other guys right now because he is the guy and because there are enough questions about Dwan Mathis, who obviously struggled in his debut, and about JT Daniels, not just his health, but, you know, if he's cleared to play, if he was that much better, then I think he would be playing. So, yeah, I mean, I think you don't really have much choice but to roll with it right now, see what he can do. And if they can get through Tennessee, which is easier said than done, but maybe you get through Tennessee just with what you've done so far and with your defense being that stifling, strangulating defense, it actually sets up well to have Alabama be that measuring stick game for the quarterback position. Give Stetson Bennett the start there. And if he does well enough, then he's your guy the rest of the way. Because are you going to face a better defense than Alabama until either the SEC championship or beyond that, you get to a playoff? I don't think so. But if he struggles against Alabama, then you can say maybe, all right, yep, it was fun. It was a nice little run, but we need to see what one of the other guys with higher upside potentially brings. But, yeah, I mean, you know, right now he's the guy. They went from playing coy with what they were doing at quarterback and, you know, saying everything about competition, blah, 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 to after the game, it was against Auburn, it was pretty clear that Bennett was the guy right now, but he's the guy.
Seth Emerson from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Seth, obviously a lot of attention on Cade Mays in this game, transferring from Georgia now at Tennessee. Do you think there is bad blood at all between Jeremy Pruitt and Kirby Smart, given how Cade Mays ended up at Tennessee?
I don't think so. I get the sense that with all these Alabama guys, that it's just an understood – it's just an understanding that you're going to do what you're going to have to do. There's a competitive element to it. You know, Nick Saban and Kirby Smart had a seemingly ugly back and forth when Kirby Smart first got back to Georgia in 2016 over Maurice Smith, who wanted to grad transfer from Alabama to Georgia. And that got ugly publicly. Not so much with Kirby and Nick attacking each other, but Murray Smith and his mother making some public statements and allegations, and the SEC eventually gave them the waiver. But they you know, they were fine. And I think that in this case, Kirby probably thinks that Pruitt was behind the scenes, maybe pulling a few of the levers here. But Pruitt also probably thinks that Kirby would do the same thing. And Kirby probably knows that he would do the same thing. I mean, look, this was going on a few weeks ago when Pruitt made that comment about, you know, Kirby's so competitive that I've never seen someone emerge from the woods with his golf ball as much as he does. And Kirby had a good-natured shot back. I mean, like, they still golf together. I don't know if they have, like, recently, but that wasn't the icy kind of no comment that you get when you ask Kirby about Dan Mullen. They used to be pretty close. Their families were close, and maybe they will eventually again, but I think there's been some fissures in that relationship. But I think among the Alabama guys, like I said, there's just kind of – everyone just understands this is part of the deal. This is part of the business.
And Seth and David Ubben, who covers the Vols for us at theathletic.com, they've got a great story, kind of the whole saga of Cade Mays going from recruitment to now. Very interesting. I learned a lot in that piece. And I wanted to ask you just about Cade on the field, Seth. I will say I basically just watched him last week in Knoxville, and you know, I understand it's Missouri, so the competition level is about to change a lot. But for a guy coming in like that, I was awfully impressed with him, both in pass protection, run blocking. He played mostly right tackle. But what is your feeling on him as a player, and do you think there's any sort of advantage for him, I guess, knowing these guys so well? And how do you view that? To me, that's the glamour matchup here Saturday, is that offensive line and that Georgia defensive front, which has its own share of future pros.
Yeah, you know, we asked some Georgia players earlier in the week about what it's going to be like seeing him back, and Malik Herring was a defensive end, a senior defensive end was one of them, and he said it's just going to be like old times going against him in practice. And the old lineman, who, you know, these guys were Cade's teammates and brothers in arms on the O-line, they seem to kind of have the same attitude that I was talking about earlier, that this is a business, and, you know, he made a business decision. I think it'd be different if Cade himself had said some of the things that have been said, like the toxic environment thing was his family's lawyer saying it. Tom Mars has said some stuff. Cade has just kind of laid low, and I still think there's going to be a little bit of bad blood that there would naturally be if a guy transferred and did it under those circumstances where it wasn't playing time. I mean, look, Justin Fields came back here in August for a preseason practice before, you know, the Big Ten decided to reverse course, and Justin Fields was welcome back. You know, they let him back in, and he and Kirby, you know, had a moment on the, you know, sidelines just saying, hey, how you doing and everything, because Justin Fields transferred from here because of playing time, no matter what the, you know, the public stuff that was said to get him eligible. But Cade was going to be the starting left tackle this year, so different deal. I could see there being a little bit of that, and this program at Georgia consistently uses whatever they can as motivation. Oftentimes I've seen them take comments by other players completely out of context and other coaches completely out of context and twist it in a way to use it as bulletin board material. And so they probably will hear, but I don't know that anybody's going to be like going after Cade's legs or anything like that.
Seth, last thing for you here. We've seen awfully impressive first couple of weeks out of this Georgia defense. Could this be the most talented defense that Kirby's ever had in his time at Georgia?
Probably as good as last year. I mean, they were second in the country last year when the season ended in yards per play, and that was with absorbing Joe Burrow and LSU. That was the one game that they got – they got handled, and they did that to everybody. And I actually asked Kirby the other night, like, did you take that as they're just doing that to everybody? And just keep going with what we're doing? Or did you say, like, other teams are going to try and do that to you too, and you have to adjust? And he basically said it was the former, which is that was LSU and a special year. And I think we'll see, because Mac Jones and Alabama look like, and Najee Harris look like they're going to be a handful too. So ask me again after they play Alabama. Maybe a bigger test for Georgia's defense than it is for Georgia's offense.
Seth Emerson from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrode. Hey, Seth, thanks for taking time to join us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks,
absolutely. Seth. Going to be a very interesting matchup. We'll see if Tennessee has what it takes this weekend to stay in that game. When we come back, we'll continue to react to some Titans breaking news. Another positive COVID-19 test. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexrode on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN The Game Nashville has your coverage of the MLB playoffs presented by Gary Force Acura. Tonight, 102.5 The Game has Game 4 of the ALDS series of the New York Yankees versus the Tampa Bay Rays at 6 p.m. And ESPN 94.9 will be carrying Game 3 of the NLDS series between the San Diego Padres and the LA Dodgers with an 8 p.m. start time. So Munson's Dodgers off to a good start in the MLB. Yankees, a little bit of trouble right now, trailing 2-1 in the series against the Rays.
Look, I hope that the Yankees lose this series, because I do not want to see the Yankees in the World Series, because they're really good.
They're pretty good.
They're really good. There's some really good hitters versus
Jansen. Cole,
versus Jansen. I don't take those odds. So I hope, let's just hope that, you know, the Rays win. I think we have a better chance with the Rays.
That's just me.
But even though I'm not scared, look, if we get the Yankees, we're still going to beat them. But I'm just saying.
Nah, he's not scared of anybody.
Preferably, I prefer the Rays.
I like it.
There's a lot of getting ahead of yourself when all your teams are winning championships.
Yeah.
That's
Munson,
okay.
Munson's on a roll
right
now.
Why you got to be a hater, man?
No, it's
I've
fine.
Been rooting for your Pistons for years, man, and they've let me down. So, I mean, I have no other choice, Joe.
Let Joe down, too.
Hey, listen, bad boys forever. That's all that matters to me.
Hey, what about the other guys, man? What about the millennial bad boys?
I love those guys, too. Yeah. It's been a rough run since then.
I mean, you guys got Blake Griffin and, you know, Derrick Rose. Maybe you'll pick it up.
Well, you know,
Luke Kennard.
You know how I always talk about, like, my son Brandon, my 13-year-old, and, you know, his Lions fandom, which is a problem. But I remember the Blake Griffin trade, too. He's like, oh, we are winning the ship. I'm like, Brandon.
You're not.
I mean,
not
that's nice. Blake Griffin's fine, but they're not going anywhere, buddy.
It's a tough time to be
Andre Drummond. He's got an Andre Drummond jersey at home, too.
Yeah, too bad he's with the Cavs now. So.
Yeah, but he was excited for a while, like Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson. I'm like, yeah, man, they'll be an 8 seed at best.
How excited was your kid with a front court of Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond?
Yeah,
which is
he's
like
fired up.
It's like these two pretty much play the same. So I don't know why you draft them.
Like one of them is old school enough. And two of them is like, dude, is this George Mikan right now?
What are we doing?
Yeah.
It's a tough time to be a Detroit sports fan right now. Really in all leagues.
I'm trying to help the young people move on to better
steer
things.
Steer clear.
I mean, I understand right now, like being a Titans fan probably isn't the greatest, but still.
At least they're undefeated.
Things will get better. That's right. They are, you know, whenever they return to the football field, they will bring an undefeated record. We think. I mean, unless the NFL starts throwing forfeits around, but in all seriousness, I don't think that's happening.
That's not going to happen, yeah. So, if you missed it this morning, another positive test for the Tennessee Titans. So, now the facility cannot even begin to open until Sunday. So, you know, we kind of talked about this yesterday in terms of the game against the Bills. Very unlikely. I just don't see a way now that you can play a game against the Bills. If you can't get back in to your facility until Sunday, the game scheduled to be played Sunday, and by the way, the Bills play next week on Thursday Night Football against the Chiefs, which a lot of people league-wide, they're going to be really looking forward to watching that game on Thursday Night Football. So you're not moving that game if you're the NFL. So
yeah,
a tough spot right now
that's
for the
probably,
Titans.
That's probably the best Thursday night game we've had, like, probably since
Long
the
time.
Opening. Like, since the opening, since Chiefs-Texans, this is probably the best game that we've
got
on the board. So I highly doubt they're just going to be like, all right, let's bump it to Sunday. Let's give them Jets versus whoever.
Yeah.
And then that's not going to happen.
Well, and I mean, if you're looking at, I mean, the Titans situation, look, it could end tomorrow and that could be it. But it looks like it might not be. So you can't even feel good about right now. If you're the NFL, you can't feel good about a Monday or Tuesday.
No.
Even if you were. And honestly, I haven't looked at the Bills Chiefs in theory. Like if they had a situation like Titans Steelers, right? you know, where you could move it around. I haven't even looked at that possibility. But even if you could, you can't feel good about bumping this game right now.
No.
I mean, the NFL, a lot of things we want to hear from the NFL today, but that's one of them that they should just take care of.
We're going to have Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 join us at 8:30, so looking forward to that. Steve Lehman had this story about Tannehill and some of the Titans players working out at NBA like a week ago, and somehow we all just missed it in Titans world. So looking forward to having Steve on at 8:30. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fred in Ashland City texts in, says, I know we keep hearing about the new positive test, but has anyone heard if the first guys who got it are still testing positive? Isn't it 10 days and two negatives if you're asymptomatic? Are any of these guys coming back to play? On a side note, how can we even have enough guys to play if it takes 6 days now to get new players in town? All those guys at this point, as far as I know, still on the COVID list. So I don't know if they're still testing positive.
Yeah, we don't have that information.
But they're still on the list.
But, I mean, yeah, I guess I would presume. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on what they're testing right now, but it's a good question on the 6 days. And that's you know, you think about it right now, I would think that John Robinson would be thinking ahead on what might be needed, you know, for a Texans game October 18th, because you've got to think way ahead now, more ahead than you've had to, which is one of the things the league has changed, I think is a good change. But it also makes it difficult for GM. So, and the problem with that, of course, is, I mean, he finds out, you know, he found out a couple hours before we all did today.
Yeah.
Okay. He and Mike Vrabel, whenever it is, 4:30 in the morning, that they get these results, but they don't know who it's going to be, you know? I mean, you found out it was Corey Davis yesterday, right? So, if there's a trend with one position group, and there may be here, as you said earlier, Robbie, we may be looking at a trend here with a position group. The receivers are starting to really get, you know, be on this list. Then maybe right now you start looking around for guys to start the process of them being able to come in, because it's not, there's no more snapping your fingers and bringing players in.
No, and that's obviously, that's a great point by Fred there to look ahead and try to figure out if you're the Titans and anticipate as best you can.
Yeah, but it's hard because, so the Bills have a bye week, and yes, I said bye week, Jeff.
Yes.
They have a bye week, week 11.
Yes.
So later on in the season is when, so I don't know if you are able to fill that week 11 with Titans. And,
but the Titans play week 11. Like,
exactly.
You can't fill
so
it.
Then, like, you have to just maneuver a bunch
yeah,
of stuff.
It's, it'd have to be at the
it's
end.
It's a lot of mumbo jumbo.
I mean, it's, you know, it's either happening at the end,
or it ain't happening,
or it's not happening. Yeah, or, and so right now though, the Titans are isolated as this one team that's had an outbreak. I'm not convinced at all that this will be the last of it, or that there won't be another team. But right now they are, and look, I hope that's the case. I hope this gets under control and fewer people get COVID-19. That'd be great. If that's the case, you go to the end of the season, I think that game – maybe the NFL holds off and says, let's just wait and see. Or at some point we may hear from them, you know what, listen, whatever the total number of games are, this is what we're going to play, and we're going to have our postseason. But to repeat again what we've said a lot, and this is Charles Robinson telling us, that they've got contingencies in place for a postseason to move around.
Yeah. This coming from former wide receiver in the NFL, Torrey Smith, quote, the Titans should have to take a loss and play next week because of their irresponsible actions. There's a lot of sentiment around the league, I think, about that, regarding that. A lot of frustration directed the Titans' way.
So, again, on the forfeit idea, we talked about this earlier on the show. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the Baltimore Ravens, or put yourself in the shoes of the New England Patriots. Two teams that if the Titans got a forfeit, which means a win, and again, I'm talking retroactive with the Steelers, but I've seen that thrown around. You know, if the Titans, let's just take the Bills though. The Bills are 4-0. If you're the Patriots, you looking at the Titans like, help us out, beat the Bills. You know, we're in a race to win the division. This is important football stuff. So if you get them a free win in Nashville, 5-0, who's like, the Patriots are furious about that. Not just because this is Patriots South. They're furious because that's like a win. So you're also giving a free win to the other team. Now, look, I understand. Anybody who doesn't have an outbreak has a right to be ticked off right now. and has a right to say Titans need to be hammered. A lot of people are saying that.
Oh, yeah.
But to me, I think that's on the draft side of things. And look, that's if the league takes away a, I don't know, third round, fourth round pick, that hurts, man.
It sure does. But not, the forfeit conversation is continuing to come up, and Keyshawn Johnson.
They're not thinking it through.
They're not thinking it through, but people keep talking about it. Keyshawn Johnson talked earlier on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin about the idea that the Titans should have to forfeit this game. Here's what Keyshawn had to say.
It has to be egregious, right? It has to be just we're not following protocol whatsoever. We're going to do it our way. We don't care what Dr. Seals says. We don't care about the CDC. That's not going to happen.
Dr. Seals, the league's chief medical officer.
It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They've made some mistakes. Clearly, what those mistakes are, we'll find out, I'm sure. But it wasn't – I don't believe it was egregious. I don't believe that they just decided to do things on their own and not follow.
That's Keyshawn Johnson from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. I think he's pretty spot on there. That, look, you know, we heard this conversation being tossed out a lot yesterday of potentially forfeiting. It just – it's not going to happen. And to your point, Joe, it's one thing, you know, from the NFL standpoint talking through this in terms of whether or not they broke protocols and were egregious about it. But it's also, like, from a competitive advantage standpoint, if you're the Ravens or somebody like the Patriots fighting for a playoff spot in the AFC, and all of a sudden, like, retroactively the Steelers and then the Bills just get two free wins against the Titans, I mean, that's not fair either.
No, I honestly was really surprised when it came out in a memo from the NFL this week that that could be on the table. I thought that they would never even broach the word. I thought that the forfeit, I know, and that's a thing a lot of people jump to, forfeit, they get a loss, but it is not that simple. There's a ripple effect with that too. And again, Judy Batista, NFL.com, reported yesterday that that's not on the table, and I don't expect it to be. So the question is the long-term damage to the Titans from punishment that could result from draft sanctions. And look, the financial, the fine could be large, obviously.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's real quickly go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, with the wideouts on the COVID list, I'm guessing they went to the high school to learn how to run the triple option. May have needed some extra practice there at NBA.
Ooh.
Learning how to run the triple option.
There you go. Okay.
When we come back, Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 will join us. We'll get into this Titans discussion with him, so looking forward to doing that next. But first, I've got a word from FanDuel. And, hey, Tennessee, it's time to get ready. Sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. You heard that right. Giving you $50 in free site credit to register and verify early. No deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that even I have managed to figure it out somehow that makes it easy for you to bet, find the bet you're looking for, and then lock it in. And unlike other sports books, once you win, FanDuel gets you taken care of. They get you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because that's the right thing to do. But right now, what you need to do is go download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out their fantastic app for yourself. Just be sure when you sign up and register, use promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, so they know that we sent you. When you verify your account, you'll receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code ROB to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older to participate and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For gambling problem support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road taking you through this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking some Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Steve Lehman, our good buddy from News Channel 5. Steve, good morning. What's going on, man?
Robbie, how are you on this early morning?
We're doing just fine. And Steve, I guess we all need to just apologize to you real quick, because obviously yesterday on Twitter, everything blows up about the Titans, you know, having these player-led workouts at NBA. And then we look and, yeah, you had this a week ago and nobody freaked out about it then. Number one, what did you make of it when you broke the news a week ago? And how big of a deal is this, do you think, in terms of the grand picture of what the NFL is investigating right now?
So here's the thing. I thought a week ago that this was something that should be taken note of, because I was pretty sure that the NFL wouldn't be excited about the fact that the Titans were getting together. But then the next morning, we sort of asked some questions to the Titans about it, and they basically said, well, now given in light, and Mike Vrabel in particular said, well, now given in light of recent tests, we've told the players to not gather in any way, shape, or form. And his exact words that followed that were, whether that be league protocol or us asking them to do so. And it left it very vague in terms of what the actual directive was. And it also seemed to make it clear that this was something that was coming that day on Thursday and not something that had come explicitly before that. And so I kind of let it die, and maybe that was a mistake on my part, but I just sort of assumed at that point that if the league didn't care and if that's what they were telling them now, that this was something in a fluid situation that we've never seen before, that they were sort of working their way through. But I got to say, yesterday morning when a new test came out for the first time in 3 days, I thought, maybe we need to revisit this, because now you're talking about the potential. We don't know this for a fact, Robbie, but you're talking about the potential that the original incubation period from Shane Bowen or Greg Maben or the trip to Minnesota is getting close to the end. But if you have guys getting together somewhere during the middle of that, potentially you increase that time period. And so I went back and started reporting and trying to get more information about it. And obviously other people around have done the same. And so that's where the story really took off yesterday. But it is interesting that a week ago, nobody seemed to really care about this at all, including anyone around the NFL. And now yesterday it was like the world is ending.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I totally missed your tweet. I mean, you know, I missed it. Now, look, I love Steve Lehman Twitter. I'm here for Steve Lehman Twitter, especially, like, if Illinois football's struggling. Like, I'm there for your Twitter account. But, yeah, I mean, I missed it. And then I think it was – I don't remember who. Someone, you know, retweeted it yesterday, and then I was like, oh, Lehman had this 6 days ago. And, of course, now – the more important thing here is the Titans, but just to take care of, because look, I spent a lot of time on Twitter defending other media members yesterday, Steve. We all go through this sometimes, and like, I understand the idea of us, maybe people are like, you guys defend other media too much, things like that. But just for you, I mean, you don't feel like anyone did anything wrong here, right, in terms of reporting this later. I've seen that some, and I think it's ridiculous, but I just wanted to make sure you said it.
Not at all. Yeah, I don't see any issues with what happened here. I guess I live my journalistic life in this way. I try to do my job the best way I possibly can, irregardless of what anyone else is doing and how they're operating and what they do. And I sort of assume other people are. And maybe they all aren't, but I sort of assume everybody else is operating under the same thing. But for the most part, what I saw yesterday in reporting was people reporting their own things or advancing the story in their own way. So, yeah, I have absolutely no problem with anything that went down yesterday.
So have you also – we've been talking about this today. Like, look, I knew what the incubation period – I knew there was an incubation period, you know. In my mind, I did not sort of think of the idea of something going 2 weeks. And we know the NFL timetable has also really not accounted for that either. But have you in the process of this learned more about this, as I feel like a lot of people in the Titans building have?
Yes, Joe. I'll be honest. I've spent a lot of the last 6 months diving into the coronavirus and precautions and everything that goes into it, because honestly, I didn't have sports to dive into for a huge long time of that. And so in a lot of ways, I became a normal reporter and less of a sports reporter in that time. So I don't know if the Titan situation necessarily has taught me a whole lot, but I've certainly learned a lot in the last 6 months. And I guess the biggest thing that the Titan situation has told me, and maybe you can take this out to even something like the White House situation from last week, is it truly is amazing if you're getting tested every day, let's say, that you can test negative on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning, and on Thursday morning, all of a sudden you're positive, doing the exact same things. I guess I always realized that you know, if you test negative on Wednesday morning and you go out to a rave that night or something without a mask on, you could potentially get infected and you would find that out soon. But I don't think the Titans are doing that. Say what you will about the practice at NBA or the workout at NBA or anything else they've done, I don't think they're doing crazy irresponsible things here. And still, you have players testing positive days later on this, and whether that's from the workout itself or it goes all the way back to the initial things from a couple of weeks ago, I guess that is a little bit surprising to me of just how long it's taken.
Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve, obviously more positive tests for the Titans this morning. And now Diana Russini's put this tweet out there that apparently there's discussion of moving the game to Monday or Tuesday in Nashville and then potentially moving the Bills and Chiefs game back from Thursday to Saturday. But given the way testing is going right now, like if you're the league, can you have any confidence whatsoever that this game gets played at some point this week, whether it's Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday?
Well, I don't, because it feels like deja vu and we're back to last week. Right? You know, on Wednesday of last week, they said, okay, these are too many positives. The Titans and Steelers are not going to play on Sunday, but maybe Monday or Tuesday. And at that moment, I thought last week, all right, we're going to play this game this week. It's not going to be Sunday, but they've now moved it back, and this is going to take care of itself over the next couple of days. And yeah, the Titans may only have a day on the practice field or whatever, but they're going to play this game this week. The NFL wants to get it done. They're going to play. And obviously we know that over the next 3 or 4 days following that, there were more tests every single day, and that made that impossible. And so it became a bye week for both teams, and you move on to this week. So I'm very reticent to sit here right now and think, yeah, they're just going to push it back from Sunday. Who knows when the Titans are even going to be able to get back into St. Thomas Sports Park, but we're going to play this game on Monday or Tuesday of next week because we don't know what's coming tomorrow. And two more tests today, one confirming a disputed test, I guess, from yesterday, and then a new positive test from today, clearly means that this is still ongoing in the building. And who's to say that there isn't going to be a new test tomorrow, or there isn't going to be a new test on Saturday, and that this is officially over? That's what it's going to take, Robbie. I mean, from all indications I've gotten, it still is going to require 2 full days of negative tests to get the Titans in the building. And when you think about it, it's really 3.
Exactly.
It would be tomorrow, Saturday, and then Sunday morning before they theoretically would get the all clear. So I think the chances of playing Sunday completely out the window. Maybe there's a chance they play Monday or Tuesday, but I would say that's a long shot at this moment as well.
Yeah, like a really long shot. Yeah, like to your point on 3 days, I mean, on Tuesday, we talked to Mike Vrabel, and I thought maybe there'd be word. You know, yep, they're open up tomorrow. But they said, let's get these tests Wednesday morning, too. And then, of course, it feels like a new outbreak, and we don't know that for sure. But regardless, we have no idea where this ends. I'd be shocked if there's a Titans-Buffalo game anytime soon. But in terms of punishments, Steve, and without knowing all the findings of the investigation, and really without knowing – exactly how the NFL is perceiving these workouts, if it's perceived as this blatant disregard or if there was some kind of communication failure on their part, what do you think we're going to see here? What do you think, with what we know, we should see here?
Well, I think you just hit on the major question there, Joe, is what was explicitly said from the NFL when they shut down St. Thomas Sports Park last Tuesday? Because the memo that went out publicly was that the building was closed to all in-person activities. But it wasn't explicitly said, at least, you know, where the general public knew, that it was totally illegal for players to gather or work out or do anything on their own. Now, other people have reported that the NFL did relay that message somehow, and it was told to the Titans, you are not supposed to gather or do anything away from the facility. And if that's the case, and they just went out and did it anyway, I think the hammer could come down pretty harshly on the Titans. If it's not, then I think it's a different situation where, again, this is a fluid thing that's never happened before and everybody's sort of working through it and they didn't like it, but it's not necessarily going directly against what the NFL told them to do. And so I think the punishment would be a little less. The one thing I don't think you're going to see is I don't think you're going to see a forfeit out of this, because really that wasn't on the table until Monday or even Tuesday of this week in the latest league memo. And I just can't imagine they're going to retroactively throw that into an outbreak that was already 9 or 10 people deep before the Titans held one of these workouts. So I think it's likely the Titans get hammered here. I'm sure there's going to be a massive fine, probably to the organization. And my guess is anybody who attended one of these workouts, like we saw with the Raiders, will get in a fine individually of some significant dollar value. But in terms of a forfeit, I don't think that's going to probably happen out of this situation, barring another turn for the worse here over the next few days.
Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Steve, great stuff, man. Great job reporting, and thanks for taking time to join us this morning, man. We appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Anytime. Take care.
Thanks, absolutely. Great job by Steve Lehman having this a week ago, and now, Joe, going to be very interesting to see, are the Titans in the midst of a new breakout right now, or is this the end of what was the breakout, the first to go around with the incubation period? I mean, we're hoping for good news, but seems like every time we've been hoping for good news as of lately, it has not gone well for the Titans.
Yeah, and I, you know, like the forfeit thing Steve mentioned, I'm with him on that. I think that the forfeit talk should just go away. I don't think that's reality here for a lot of reasons. I'll tell you right now what's going on flying around here. The one thing that I'm a bit surprised that we're still even talking about this possibility of a game, but at this point,
it's apparently still on the table.
It feels like the NFL is actually still trying to talk about it. So, well, we got to go to break, so we can get into that more later. But what you would be saying then is no Thursday night football game next week. You would make it Saturday, make it its own standalone. Of course, you're also now competing with, I mean, from a TV perspective, there's a lot more college inventory out there on a Saturday. And you would be talking about letting a team play after really 2 weeks of inactivity with maybe one practice in there.
Yeah. Crazy to think about.
There's a lot of factors at work there, but I'm surprised. I thought that right now we would have basically no chance of that game, but maybe I'm going to end up being wrong.
When we come back, we'll continue to dive into this. Also, get into some fantasy football as well. We'll take your questions on our text line, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Saturday, the college football game of the week is on ESPN 94.9, presented to you by Gary Force Acura. It's the Red River Rivalry Game as Texas goes against Oklahoma. Kickoff at 11 a.m. on ESPN 94.9. I did a much better job that time of pronouncing Red River Rivalry. I really struggled with that yesterday. The three R's in a row kicked my butt.
Well, it's four, right? Red River Rivalry. It's actually five R's in there.
Well, yeah, but it's three words.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, five R's, you know. I mean, look, as someone – Rex Rowe. Red River Rivalry. Yeah, that's not easy.
No.
You've showed improvement from one day to the next.
Yes, great improvement there. That's what we strive to do.
Improve 1% every day, Robbie.
Yeah, that's what we're doing here. I feel like Butch Jones after you said that, but yeah, that's what we're doing here. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text through that asks, do you guys think a first or second round pick being taken away would be an option on the table for the NFL?
That's high. We're all speculating right now. That would be a big hit. I'd think middle rounds, but you could also move picks. You know, you could move your first round pick down or something like that. You know, but that would be a big. I mean, you're talking. I mean, those picks are foundational in this league. You have to draft well. You have to have a lot of your draft classes work out, and those picks often are starters instantly, and you need them to be stars. You know, that's a serious hit to the future of a team. Am I saying that there's no way? No, I don't know. We don't know everything the NFL is going to lay out here, and some of this talk around the workout is part of this too, but I would be surprised if it got that severe.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill texts in. So I've got a few thoughts on this Titan situation. A big question we need answered is, have any of the players that participated in workouts tested positive since September 30th? If they do think the workout has something to do with it, then to me that suggests that the idea of the league has of playing football isn't something that contributes to the spreading of the virus is questionable, and that they need to rethink how willing they are to play games after positive tests. I mean, that's a great point by Tyler there. I think the first thing that comes to mind when he asks that question is, okay, was Corey Davis at these workouts on September 30th with Ryan Tannehill and some of the offensive players? It would be logical, I think, to assume that he could have been, absolutely could have been there. He was put on the COVID list yesterday. Now, is that definitely from working out? I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's going to be hard, I think, to prove that. But to the point, I mean, we've talked about, we had Dr. William Schaffner on talking about the risk being relatively low when you're outside playing in football games and you're not exposed to each other for a long period of time. If that did happen while they were on the field at these workouts, maybe that changes the way you view things if you're the NFL.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. There's still a larger discussion here around how the NFL should proceed. And even before all that stuff, I'll go back to the initial Titans going to Minnesota, and it has worked out with the Vikings not getting it. Hopefully that holds true. By the way, tomorrow that could still – I mean, you would think that would be unlikely. That would be at the far, far reaches of what we believe to be the incubation period. But I think that all these things could be revisited by the league. I think that's absolutely fair. Another point that has been brought up to me, okay, that I want to throw in here on the Bills-Titans game. And it's a good point. And the point is basically, yes, like the union, like I tweeted, the union would go nuts if they tried to make them play. But also remember, the NFLPA wants all the teams to play the 16 games. There are player incentives. There are all these things that are tied to your pay that are based on playing the 16 games. So the union does have that to balance, not just – yeah, of course, player safety is very important. But also, on the financial side of this, these players want their 16 games and the game checks, and there's a lot of, and there's a lot of contract incentives on various things that you're not hitting if you don't play 16 games, all that. So you balance that too. If the NFL is just hell-bent on not having this Week 18 situation, that all of that goes into this idea that they're still trying to cram this game in, which I still think is crazy, but it's a good piece of context that I was sent by someone who knows this league well, and it's something to consider.
Which is another point of when you're talking about like the forfeit aspect of this, it's not going to happen. This tweet comes from Chris Mortensen of ESPN. If that happens, Bills players would not be paid a game check under revised COVID-19 terms. It's a hot-button topic players are discussing among each other. Roster sizes, game day actives, IR modifications, and COVID-19 designations were among the conditions put into place to avoid this scenario. So that even more evidence there that the forfeit part of this, like the players are not going to let them just not getting a game check happen.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. I didn't know that. I didn't think about that. So I'm gonna retweet that right now, Chris Mortensen. The forfeit stuff, and I get it. People are upset, but you're not thinking it through. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So drop that. The question is, will this game happen? And I guess I'm drifting more toward, okay, I guess I can see how they can try to shoehorn it in, but my goodness, is it shoehorning. And
what are the Titans going to look like if they play that game?
And again, you know, this is all on the presumption, the hopeful presumption, that all of a sudden the negatives start coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that's absolute last moment that you could – today, I guess, is the absolute last moment you could have positive tests and even talk about that game.
And then, like, obviously there's much more important things going on right now with the virus itself and the games itself and how that's going to impact, you know, people. But fantasy football, like, what do you do? If you got another Titans segment. I know a lot of our listeners here, they've got a lot of Titans on their fantasy team. I've got Stephon Diggs from the Bills in all four of my leagues. Like, what do you do from a fantasy football standpoint this week? It's tough.
Yeah, I would have a contingency in place. You know, I mean,
you can talk to the waiver wire guru.
Yeah, right, just go get Munson.
Yeah, well, I would suggest joining Munson's league, where star players will be sitting on the waiver wire for you.
Yes,
as everyone starts.
Dwayne
Haskins.
As I start to pick him up.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah.
Just Munson by himself.
Pretty much, I've picked up and dropped Damian Harris like four times, and nobody's still yet to pick him up. I can go back to my. I picked him up at least three or four times and dropped him, and still was able to get him back like three or four times.
Nice.
So, but look, the thing is, and what's funny is, like, I went into this season not drafting a Titans player because I was like, I don't want to draft any Titans players. Just, you know, I just didn't want to. But, you know, I end up, you know, working out for me. But, you know, it's, you know, and we talk about this segment, and obviously, you know, health is the main concern. But, you know, when you look at your fantasy team, and if you want some advice from me, here's some advice from me. I would, if there's a player that's on your bench, and I don't know how deep some of you guys' leagues are.
Yeah.
So sometimes waiver wires are pretty empty, like you're pretty dried out. And there's some that are, you know, pretty open.
Got an 18 league, yeah. Got some people available.
Yeah, if you got an 18 league, there's probably a lot of players still available. But for me, there's been a lot of injuries this week. Like, I luckily had Joshua Kelly already on my squad, and Eckler's hurt, so yep. Joshua Kelly is going to get more touches. I also picked up Keyshawn Vaughn, who, like, here's my advice, because I doubt anybody in these leagues have Keyshawn Vaughn.
And
they're playing tonight. I would go right now to go pick up Keyshawn Vaughn. And because, first of all, you got LeSean McCoy, who's out for this game. You got Leonard Fournette, who is questionable, who's doubtful for this game. So he may not even play. So Keyshawn Vaughn will be the first back potentially in this game.
Him and Ronald Jones, yeah.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that Mike Evans is out and possibly out, and Chris Godwin's possibly out. So. Yeah. Not a lot of weapons for Tom Brady to throw it to, so it's probably going to be a lot of touches for Keyshawn Vaughn. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he's still in your lineup. So there's a one waiver guy that I'd pick up, Justin Jackson from the Chargers.
Look at you.
I'd pick up Justin Jackson. I was trying to pick him up, but he was gone. I would pick up
the one guy somebody
picked up. I would pick up Damian Harris, and I would pick up Keyshawn Vaughn, local product. Or DeForest Johnson, who plays for the Browns.
Yeah.
And obviously Nick Chubb is out. So if those are, because running backs are few and far between, those are the four people that I would pick up if I were you guys. Just
I got.
Word of advice.
Eckler killed me last week.
Eckler.
He got 2 points. He was out. Now he's out, I think, 4 to 6 weeks.
What's crazy is, so the same, I played a guy, Nick Chubb was hurt.
Yeah.
And he got hurt in that game. And this guy had Eckler. So I had Chubb, he had Eckler. And both of them got hurt. So it was like, you know, I hate it for Eckler, but, man, like, also Nick Chubb's out for several weeks, mm-hmm. which I don't know how long that is. Luckily, Christian McCaffrey's possibly coming back maybe next week or a week after, so I'll be safe there. I got a wide receiver corps out the wazoo. I'm thinking about dropping Henry Ruggs, but I'm not too sure yet because he hasn't really done anything. But I'm thinking about keeping him on my roster. I still got Justin Jefferson. I got a lot of rookies. Got T. Higgins, Justin Jefferson.
Wow, you're going deep with the rookies.
Yeah, man, rookies.
I like it.
Rookies do numbers for you, man. But look, that's what I'll go with. Keyshawn Vaughn will be my guy to pick up for fantasy football.
Look at here, Munson coming in here, the waiver wire guru, giving the advice for the people.
And also,
I like it.
And also, look, my two star running backs are hurt. I'm still undefeated. So if that tells you anything, I play those waiver wires.
I don't know if it tells me more about you or your league.
Tells me about your league.
Well, both.
I think,
give me some credit at least?
Yeah, you get credit. I think that you could do well in other leagues, but your league is bad. Let's be honest.
When we come back, a big day yesterday for the Nashville Predators. What does it mean for them as they move forward the rest of this offseason? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesale Link Studios. Powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.